Based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Based on a True Scary. It's Trisha again. Of course, still coming to you from my Los Angeles quarantine. I am here, as always, virtually with Jake. Jake, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, besides what we'll talk about in a few seconds.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that. And I'm even more excited to introduce an incredible guest for our season one finale, by the way.
Woo! Yeah. Woo, bow,
bow, woo. Bow. He is not only one of my favorite people in the world, one of my closest friends. He is a writer, a copywriting guru, and a karaoke master. Welcome, Mac. How are you doing?
What's up, Mac?
Hey. Gosh, no pressure. Now I have to live up to that. I feel like I need to sing something.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have to do a little
real
bit.
Quick.
Please do. I know. I was like, oh, he's the funniest person I know. But then I'm like, oh, then he's just going to bomb.
I know. It's a total jinx.
I refuse to set you up for failure. You honestly, you can't fail more than Jake did. Are we ready to mention?
Well, let's put a little backstory to it. I do things last second. Okay. Mm-hmm. I edit this podcast from Trisha's notes on Sunday before we release it. I watch the movie. I put it perfect timing 2 hours before we record the podcast. So I happened to watch the movie Veronica, and it was made in 2017, and mm-hmm. it was a Spanish language film. I'm watching. It's not really scary. Not really scary, believe it or not. So I go to Wikipedia and get some more information about it. Turns out there's another Spanish film in 2017 called Veronica. But this one was made in Spain, not Mexico. So I watched the wrong movie.
Yes, he did. And Mac, being the good little student that he is, confirmed with me that he watched the right one.
Well, because I caught, I was like, wait a minute. There seems to be more than one here.
See, it's weird. I didn't see the second one, but I don't know. I have no excuse. It was really sad.
Yeah. So nobody paid attention to
Jake. I watched the right Veronica.
How far in did you make it into the other, like the PG Veronica, before you were like, when does scary shit happen?
Oh, I mean, I watched the whole thing. I watched the whole thing.
And the funny thing is, you're like, any minute something's going to jump out.
The plot twist in this movie is similar to the plot twist in the other Veronica movie. And we'll talk about that later. But
interesting.
Yeah, it was something. I'm not really proud about it. So I watched this movie in 60 minutes fast forwarding through certain parts. So we'll see how much I actually know.
Oh, Jake. Well,
this movie being the movie you were supposed to watch.
Yes. It's the actual Veronica, which real quick, I will go through the details. So yes, the correct Veronica, a 2017 Spanish horror film. This one was directed by Paco Plaza, and that's the guy who did the Wreck movies. So he did one, two, and three.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was written by Paco Plaza as well as Fernando Navarro. Budget, this is always like loose, nobody actually knows, but estimated to be $1.6 million. It grossed $6.3 million.
All right.
I know, right? That's like internationally with everything combined. Rotten Tomatoes critic score for this one is 90%. Audience is 48%. Metacritic gives it a 52%. So I don't know if you guys remember when this movie first came out, PR like blew smoke up its ass so hard that this was like the best movie ever, the scariest movie ever. I don't know if they paid the film critics to like say that it was good, but anyways, we can get into that.
Well, I can tell you right now, I did not remember when this came out because apparently I couldn't tell the difference between the two movies.
Yeah, clearly the PR wasn't that good.
Sorry, is this one of the highest Rotten Tomatoes of the movies you've done? I mean, 98? That's...
Oh, 90. Sorry. Just sorry. A flat.
Well, like, still 90. Oh, you're 90. Right. That's a good point.
That's an A minus. Yeah, I honestly, I mean, as far as a critic response, yeah, right. I think
maybe
so.
Maybe minus
I
think Jaws? What did Jaws get?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's see.
And then think about like then the people went and saw it and they halved that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
This is a big leap. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some bullshit. Let's see. I'm looking up Jaws right now.
Oh, that's some copywriting. That's what that is. That's some copywriting.
Jaws actually did 98. Jaws was 98%. Oh, okay. Wow. So that's super high. And then the truth claim for this film, the trailer and the marketing say that it is inspired by true events. And then the movie has that sort of opening title sequence that then culminates with the story is based on a real police report. Which, and here, Jake, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give you a synopsis since I know you didn't watch the freaking movie. And for those of you who didn't, like Jake, watch the movie, the film is essentially about a 15-year-old girl who plays with a Ouija board during a solar eclipse in the hopes of contacting her dead dad. She instead gets possessed by an evil spirit who tries to harm herself and her siblings. Spooky shit goes down, and then she eventually kills herself to save her family. That's my Trisha synopsis of the film.
Boom. Done.
You're welcome. So, gentlemen, thoughts on Veronica, the actual Veronica?
I liked it.
Yeah?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is, okay, so I think I texted you, Trisha, on Sunday, and I was like, oh, I'm going to start this, woo-woo. And you replied back, and you were like, oh, I think I'm going to watch it closer so that it's fresher in my mind. If you recall, I have no memory at all. Like, I'm surprised I remembered to show up for this shit.
We're glad you did.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
Also, Becky, rude.
I know, sorry. But, you know, so I watched the first third of it Sunday, and I was like, oh, Trisha's right. I should watch this closer because I'm going to completely forget everything. And then there's going to be, you'd just be doing all the heavy lifting yourself.
And, I'm kidding, Jake.
It's true.
And so I watched the first third Sunday, and the first third of this movie drags balls. It is so boring. And I was like, what is this crap? Trisha threw me like the worst one, thinking, oh, he'll spice it up. And then I watched the other two thirds of it last night. Oh, girl, that's when the shit hit the fan. All of a sudden there's demons lurking. It's so good.
I mean, there are some good creepy scares.
Yeah.
Oh, God, there's a siren going off in the background. Speaking of. Here. I know.
It's perfect.
Like, just like the mom at the end. We'll just let them pass. No, I think there are some, like, good, not even, like, jump scares, like, legitimate creepy demon scares.
There's some creepy
movie.
Parts in there. I definitely, like, from what I took from just fast-forwarding and starting for about 5 minutes and then fast-forwarding for 5 minutes, I found some creepy stuff. I mean, minus Sister Death seeming creepy as hell.
Oh, Sister Death. Oh my gosh. So she is a badass character. This is like the nun that is Veronica's confidant who's trying to help her escape this demon.
Okay, let me interrupt really quick though. Did you think her eyes were going white because of the eclipse?
Oh, when they first showed her?
Yeah, when they first showed it, and they never explain it. And I'm like, fucking trope, blah, blah, blah. And little did we know.
I feel like it was like a hint of her before the eclipse. I feel like they referenced her beforehand because I'm trying to remember if I made it to the eclipse on Sunday. And maybe I did. See, again, I've already forgotten. Shocker. Or maybe I'm just making this shit up. But I could have sworn we saw a pop of her earlier before the eclipse and she was already blonde.
They just peppered her in.
Yeah. I mean, hello. If you got Sister Death, I mean, it's like paprika. You got to throw it in. Mix it in.
It's a good spice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to even think, like, as I'm looking through my notes, the first third of the movie is just the setup. Like, it starts with the 911 call, which is really the end of the movie. And then it's like flashback. We're just getting, you know, pure setup of like Veronica's single mother. She's taking care of the siblings, which I know you, well, Jake likes kids. Mac, less of a fan.
Like I have a child. I don't like children. All right.
Those children, most specifically Antonito, the little boy with his glasses. Oh my God.
And he's all cross-eyed.
Oh, like a little baby Martin Scorsese. Like,
oh, see, I thought he looked creepy as hell.
Oh,
what?
Jake.
Yeah.
Oh. Jake.
Yeah, he looked like he was a fucking stab me in the middle of the night.
No.
Can we reference how like the two of us were like, ew, kids? And you were like, oh, you know, they're not so bad. And meanwhile, you're
I was referencing that whenever Trisha says Jake loves kids, it just comes down a different path than what. Like, we have a lot of followers that probably
you're
don't.
On a list.
Yes,
I'm allowed 50 feet towards schools. I can promise you that.
That's good. These are good things, except not during Corona, right?
I think. Well, not during the school year either, but that's besides the point.
But
right in the summer, you're allowed near them.
Exactly.
Oh, can we talk about the music in this movie? I was like, okay, Sins. They like come out of nowhere too. And I'm like, it felt like it was like Stranger Things music.
Yes.
And I'm like, right, this does not go with this movie, but no. I'm here for it. If you want, I'm like, yeah.
It definitely added. No, I did. I enjoyed the music, but it did feel like a bit of a.
It was all over the place too. There was there was one moment where it felt like really creep, like that creepy, but like 80s horror like 80s theme horror music. And then all of a sudden there was like this rock band playing, counting 1, 2, 3, like. They didn't know what they were doing.
Because she had those, Veronica had those like super cool girl friends.
Yes, of course.
Who were like throwing parties and being real bitches. I gotta say, when they're in the class where they're learning about how like during eclipses, Mayan cultures would, you know, like use human sacrifices to summon dark spirits. Where was this class when I was in high school?
Hello. Oh,
did you go to a private Catholic high school?
No, I went to some bullshit public school in Colorado. But like this, you know, this is the stuff that I would have liked to learn.
Yeah, clearly we should have gone to school in Spain.
Yeah.
Because you learn about sacrificing people. Great.
Plus, yeah.
B, you get to leave class for an eclipse. Bitch, that did not happen in America. Not the school I went to. They were like, focus, read. Read David Copperfield.
Right.
David Copperfield.
Yeah, how old are you?
I mean, you know. And then C, can we talk about, there were no random basements full of like storage, creepy mannequins that of course everyone had access to too.
Right.
Yeah, what that was like the quad, that's college actually. That was, you know, like the cool hangout area was this creepy basement. Also, these girls did not seem like the type of girls that would just be into Ouija boards, but I guess it was because the girl's boyfriend died and they were trying to contact him, and then Veronica was trying to contact her dad.
The pizza guy.
Right.
Yes. Wait, can we dial it back for a second? Are you supposed to look at eclipses through negative film?
I had never heard of this either.
Never once.
Never. But I'm also not the kind of person that looked at eclipses.
Right. We know that's bad. So, let's see. Yes. Ultimately, Ouija board ceremony goes awry. Your paint by numbers scenario here. Yes, exactly. And then that's when spooky shit starts to happen. But it does take, it actually happens pretty quickly, because then the next thing we get is the scene where they go home and Veronica can't eat because she's possessed.
And she's like choking on the meatball. Everything about that scene was like a vegan's worst nightmare. It's like mucusy, like meatball. And then there's, what's up with like the one sister, which P.S. there are so many goddamn children running around in this house. I couldn't keep track of who was who. And at one point they're like, I have 3 siblings. I was like, it seems like you got 18. There's like a kidocopia. It's just like, they just keep coming out of the wall. Oh,
kidocopia. Should we have like a hilarious Mac like pun counter this episode?
Oh yeah. Just put it in 11 now.
Right? Oh God.
But they're just like, you know, reproducing. I don't know. 12. And like the one like drops the milk, and because the milk touches her, all of a sudden, fine. And of course, I was like, what kind of fucking dairy industry bullshit propaganda is that? You got demons?
Yeah, this movie, I mean, I will say this movie, while very anti-Ouija board, is very pro-meat, because after like Veronica faints during the Ouija board scene. First off, the school nurse visits her, right? And she's grilling her ass about drug use.
Do you have diabetes? Do you have diabetes?
All of a sudden she is full judgment, full doctor. Like, she was like, okay, we'll go home and eat lots of meat. You clearly have low iron. I'm like,
exactly.
First off, you never even did the squeegee around the arm thing, you know, listen. All those medical terms.
Yeah, those are the proper medical terms.
You just walked in the room and were like, yep, you're going to die.
No. Yeah.
Wait, I just want to clarify. The squeegee around the arm, are you talking about blood pressure? Yeah, you're talking about checking the blood pressure?
Obviously.
Duh. Okay. I just want to clarify.
That's probably what you call it, but...
Is that... So after they go home and she can't eat, that's when she... accidentally like burns the adorable little brother in the bath.
Tub's just like trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then I think that's when we first get our spooky demon reflection in the TV, and he is creepy.
Oh, no. There's a little bit of a preview before that. So I actually had a very Trisha, there he is moment.
Oh.
We
We have inside jokes. Yeah.
Copy that.
So there is a point when she's like kind of just meandering through the like apartment, but I don't think it's because she's hearing spooky things other than maybe the TV turned on or something. And you actually can see him in the hall, because can we talk about this apartment? We need to talk about the layout of this apartment.
Oh, what was the layout of this apartment?
They're flat broke, right? Mom's like breaking her ass, working these horrible shifts in some dumpy little cafe that I ain't never seen in no Spain. I'm like, Spanish cafes are cute. This looked like it was straight from like Iowa. And all the men are yelling at her. Anyway, not the point. And they're flat broke. The dad is dead. We'll get to him in a second. And but like it's spacious. And like there's a scene later in it where she can see through the living room through a window into like all these interchangeable children as a bedroom. And I was like, wait, how can she do how? I can't do that, and I have a pretty big New York apartment.
How sprawling is it that you're literally looking across a corridor into another bedroom in the apartment? Right. So that thing must have been gigantic.
Yeah, that's why your mom has to work so hard. That rents in me.
Yeah, it was luxurious. But,
you see him in a corridor. You see him in a hallway.
That's right.
And then she like ducks down to get something, and then he's in the TV reflection. Yeah.
I was fast-forwarding through this part, for sure.
Oh, Jake.
Hey, I was just being honest.
That was a top-notch scare that didn't feel like a jump scare, but it got you nonetheless. It was a good gotcha.
Oh, totally. And her dreams, like a lot of the dream sequences that she was having where like the hands were coming out to get her. I think she has one that night where like, you know, the figure is standing there, and then she sees her dead dad who's totally naked just coming after her saying her name. Like those were, the scare sequences were creepy. We'll give it to Veronica. And then the next day, that's when fucking high school girls, man. They're being so mean to her. What? How? Glad I never was one of those. Mm-hmm. What a brat.
They flipped too. I was like, wait, I thought you guys were friends. And that's the thing you don't quite catch is that it is literally the next day.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, and now you don't like her no more because now you got this girl that got held back with her dead like boyfriend that's referenced once and you're just supposed to remember he's dead.
Yeah, that was just a real side plot.
Yeah, they just drew him on.
Well, Lord knows why, but then that's when she just kind of like starts creating her little like homegirl relationship with Sister Death. And Sister Death's just like, love her. Just being like, excuse me, you have a demon attached to you, is like smoking cigarettes in front of her, blowing smoke in her face.
Yeah, because Veronica goes back down into that, you know, again, this unlocked storage closet
in the
school that has all these like, you know, broken down mannequins and shit, you know, as a school does. Mm-hmm. And because she's going to retrieve the photo that caught fire of her dad. The photo didn't catch fire, but she had left it behind for whatever reason.
And Sister Death does what she can, but then ultimately she performs like a little ceremony on her to make the demon go away and is like, protect your siblings and then run from that thing if you can. Really just kind of gives her the old, you're going to die, sort of like.
I did my part.
Yeah, she tried. But then that sort of pushes Veronica into her occult obsession, and she starts drawing these protective little symbols around the house to like help protect herself.
And where does she get the symbol from? But Occult Monthly, because evidently there was a magazine back in the day for occultists.
Again, where was this?
And also, how lucky she didn't miss this issue with the protective symbols in it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know about you, every once in a while, I still subscribe to magazines because I'm 87. And every once in a while, I miss an issue. And then I get that 3 months later, and it's all beat up and looks like the mailman was gnawing on it. And he's like, oh, sorry.
It's a good thing.
Missed this.
That would have been tragic. Although the demon not having her pen and paper bullshit. He was like, no, thank you. I'm going to burn this up and then like choke your sister. So
Mac, just to back you up a little bit. I just subscribed to a magazine. No big deal.
Nice. You know. Ranger Rick. Which one?
Ranger Rick.
That's a good one.
I know. I used to subscribe to Ranger Rick. Anyway. Which one?
Oh, I have it right here. Rune Morgue magazine. It's a horror movie magazine.
Ooh.
Trisha, you can borrow it if you want.
Rue Morgue.
Nice. That was Occult Monthly not available?
They weren't taking any more subscribers. Well, after after the demon destroys all of her like pen and paper shit, that's when they like Veronica spills the beans and essentially tells the little children that there's a demon in the apartment, which I'm like, bad call. One of them's like three. You're going to be in so much trouble. And then lo and behold, mom comes in and all the kids are freaked the fuck out. And now Veronica is in trouble.
And the mom's all just like, I've been working really hard. Can't you just, you know, step it up? Yeah. Oh. These aren't your children. Can't you just take care of them?
And that's when Veronica has the dream of, because of her mom saying that, all of her siblings eating her. And
yeah, oh.
She gets her period, which I gotta say, that is the tell, those cannibalistic sibling mm-hmm. nightmares. That's how you know.
Yeah. It was an intense little period scene too.
It was.
Yeah. Is that how the first period is?
Yeah. A demon mom comes and then grabs
puts her hand over it. Yep, yep. Yeah.
And there's, yep. and there's bitey children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Duh. Yeah.
Yeah. Did yeah. you that's not have health class either, Jake? What was school like for you? No solar eclipses, no, you know, nothing. Bitey children means menstruation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Highly can't recommend being a woman enough. It's give it the old 2 out of 10 stars. But
ooh, gotta upgrade
it. Exactly. But so that's when, because of her period, she's cleaning her mattress because of the stain, and she finds those. I thought this was super creepy. All of the black stains on the bottom of the mattresses.
Which some were clearly burnt bodies, right?
Ah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I couldn't figure that out. I was like, are these supposed to be burns? What is this? Because remember, there's this like random moment when like the downstairs neighbor comes up to complain about like, you know, loud footsteps happening mm-hmm. and leaking, you know? And she was like, oh, there's this black yuck leaking down into my apartment. Oof. And they never really kind of resolved that, but I was just like, oh, is that burns or is it yuck?
I assumed that it was because like the demon was like laying under their bed and just like, being super creepy and
yeah. ugh,
loved it. Wow, that was fun.
And he's so creepy that he's oozing into the apartment below. God.
That's how much his creepiness has reached. And I think, I mean, basically after that, that's when shit gets like very wild. We get the scene where she goes back to Sister Death and is like, mm-hmm. how the fuck do I fix this? And Sister Death's like, you got to write what you did wrong, which was like the mantra for a while. Mm-hmm. And thus, she learns that apparently demons are very polite and you actually just have to say goodbye to them at the end of a seance.
Oh.
Has never come up in any of the other 9,000 seance movies.
No.
Not one.
You didn't say goodbye to them.
That was novel. I will give them that. So then we get the scene where Veronica goes to her ex-friend's, I guess, party and is very not chill and demands that they do a seance with her, which they're like, no, get out.
It's like it's a rip-roaring party, and I can't quite figure out, are they neighbors? Like, is she across the street? My spatial issues, which are not good to begin with, were like flaring up this whole movie. I'm like, where is this in conjunction to everything else? Oh.
The fact that you even think about that in a film embarrasses me because I don't even think I give that.
I just want to know why they're friends and why she dissed her in 24 hours. I care.
Yeah, you do. How close are they? Literally, like emotionally and physically.
I got no patience for this mean girl bullshit.
I mean,
Diana. Respect.
Diana. What was the other one?
Rosa. It took me halfway through the movie. I think it was that goddamn party when she kept screaming their names. I was like, oh, that's their names.
Oh, yes. That was a good way to learn them. Repeatedly having her scream them. Very not chill.
Yeah, I skipped over all this part.
Jake. Well, so in my version of Veronica.
They were moving very fast. Well, instead, since they don't do the seance with her, she's ropes her siblings into doing the seance, which again, one of them is three. And because of that, he draws the wrong symbol on the wall. And thus...
He invokes it instead
of... He invokes it.
Oh, that's what happened.
That's what happened. Mm-hmm. You get a three-year-old to do a 15-year-old's work. Shit's gonna get crazy. And thus, shit gets pretty crazy. And we get, you know, this wild end possession scene, which was pretty fun, I thought.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought this whole movie kind of executed the demon very well. Like, mm-hmm. I felt like he was used like in a good amount. Like it wasn't too much. You never got to see too much. And I liked that he was kind of this like, you know, person, but he didn't have a face and he was this kind of blobby thing. I mean, hello, he's leaking into the downstairs apartment and burning up mattresses. And everybody has a twin mattress in this movie too.
Yeah, there's also a scene where she runs in and goes, grab your mattresses, which is not a thing you say to children.
Yeah, they could, the three-year-old's gonna hold up a mattress.
Exactly.
Carry your weight, mom's working.
Good this plan. Is how,
I mean, this is what my mother said to me at three. She was like, okay, here's how it's gonna go.
Back when I was three, I carried my own mattress.
Hello.
But that's, I mean, that's basically the end scene. So shit goes awry. Veronica tries to get all the kids out of the house, which then we are re-seeing the intro part, right? Where the cops, she calls the cops. This is frantic call.
Oh, it's the Janie's got a gun part. Because I made that note when the movie first opened. I was like, yes, you better, where is Joe Perry?
Would have been a better film. No, just kidding.
Is that the other Veronica?
Yeah, was he in the other Veronica?
He was not, unfortunately.
No? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That is unfortunate. But then we see, it all comes down to the little adorable boy who she thinks she's gotten out of the apartment, realizes that she has not, and he's being a little so scared in the closet. That's when Veronica realizes that she is possessed by the demon, right? We have the like reveal, the sixth sense moment of, oh, I'm the problem. I'm hurting everybody. And so she slits her throat and the cops kind of walk in and see this twitchy classic
upside down.
Wait.
Yeah. So she tries to slit her throat. I don't think she actually succeeds because
then
grabs her and starts fisting her in the mouth.
Yes.
And I was like, this got kinky. And, you know, demon just is like, well, if you're going to go.
You're like, ooh, another Tuesday night for me.
I mean,
by the way, the other Veronica, very kinky.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was there fisting?
Well, Joe Perry's in it.
Yeah. That's exciting.
A lot of girl on girl stuff, but we can talk about it later.
Was there love in an elevator?
Wow. Well, you really know a lot about Aerosmith.
No. And I guarantee you are not a fan of Aerosmith.
Are you kidding? I love Aerosmith.
Really?
I mean, karaoke.
I know. Do you what song do you do?
I mean, I would like to think I could do Dream On, but
that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's hard. But Danny's Got a Gun is always a crowd pleaser, I gotta say.
That is a fun one. And you would be very good at that.
Yeah, I got the headscarf. Come on.
You Mac is wearing a beautiful headscarf right now that is a pleasure to behold. But yeah, I guess that's sort of, you know, the end of Veronica for the most part. She gets ghost fisted to death. And then as one does. And then as she's taken away, the detective is still looking around the apartment and he sees a photo of her on the ground that spontaneously combusts. And right as that happens, he gets a call that says that Veronica has died. So ookie spooky.
R.I.P.
Yeah. And then I guess it ends with like, you know, like the sort of text card saying that like after the seance, you know, this was basically like the description of the detective writing a report that after the seance, the girl had strange symptoms, paranormal events happened, that the cops had to leave the apartment because they were nauseous, and that the cops said that, you know, it was unexplained.
Okay, but did anyone else feel like they shortened what was being shown on screen?
What do you mean?
Meaning like on screen, there's 10 lines of Spanish.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the translation is like,
she got sick
and that's it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm sorry, are you pandering to my American idiocy right now? Yeah.
Please do.
You summed it up. Yeah.
The editor in me is like, exactly, concise.
Oh, yeah. And that was Veronica. So yeah, I mean, I think, well, Jake doesn't know if he liked it, but
I liked it, to be fair. Yeah.
It's not the, you know, like the scariest movie of all time or the best exorcism type film. Like,
wait, I have one note. Did she have braces the whole time?
Yes.
She did, right?
Yeah.
I felt like I didn't see them. I only saw them beginning and at the end, but.
Yeah.
I would also like to know, you know, I just wish they would have kind of dove into the dad story a little bit because it's so weird to constantly have this picture of this guy with this I mean, it took up 2/3 of the photo, this heaping paella. And I'm like, I get it. He liked paella, and you're in Spain, but it was nuts. I couldn't get past the paella, sorry.
Past the paella. The Max Smith story.
From the left-hand side.
Yeah, the dad stuff was very breezed over.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, the film was kind of all over the place, but ultimately I think that the scares saved it because it was some spooky stuff for sure.
I agree. I thought it was messy, but it still landed. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready to learn how true it actually is?
I'm ready to learn.
Yep.
We dancing. Can you hear my snaps? Okay. So Mac Jake does not know either. He has not done research this time. So you guys are going to head in the Veronica Truth competition.
Redhead to redhead. We're ready.
It's true. God. All right. Question one. I'm going to start broad here. Do you guys think that similar in the movie, there was a girl in Spain who played with a Ouija board and then some weird shit happened afterwards?
Yes.
Yes. Ouija boards are no good, people. What are you going to learn?
Yes, it is true. Pretty true. So the movie is based on the Vilakas case, which is centered around an 18-year-old, not 15-year-old, girl named Estefania Gutierrez Lazaro, who lived with her family in Vilakas, Spain, which I guess is just outside of Madrid. So location, we'll give it close enough. And this was in 1990. Again, not 1991. I don't know why they changed the year on this stuff.
We never know.
It's like 1 year.
Because of grunge? Were they trying to get more of that heavy metal in?
Maybe. Maybe that's fair. So in 1990, one of Estefania's friend's boyfriends died in a motorcycle accident. So they decided to try and contact him by having a seance using a Ouija board in the field behind their school. It was not during a solar eclipse, though. So that whole angle was totally made up. During the seance, the friends claim that the upside down glass that they were using on the board flew out from under their fingers and shattered. And then they were caught by a nun who stopped the seance and broke the Ouija board in two. And it was at that moment that Estefania's friends claim that smoke rose up from the broken Ouija board and went into her nose and mouth.
Oh.
And then after that incident, shit indeed started getting weird, which we will get into. So. Pretty true. Some liberties taken, but for the most part. All right. Tied game so far. Question two. In the movie, Veronica is, you know, the daughter of a single mother, and so she had to take care of her siblings. Do you think that in real life that was Estefania's situation?
I'm going to say no.
I'll say yes.
It is false.
Oh!
Jakey boy gets the point. So... Yeah. Yes. False. Estefania lived with her mother and father. Father was not deceased. Their names were Conception was the mom's name, which I'm like, wow, that's
a... Wait, what?
That's no. A name.
Yeah. Conception and Maximo. She did have three younger siblings, but wasn't the caretaker, you know, not a single parent, and her dad was not dead. However, this is super interesting. Estefania's grandfather did die a few months before the Ouija board incident. Apparently this dude like hated their family, but they still visited him at his deathbed to say goodbye. And as he was dying, he grabbed Estefania and whispered in her ear, "If I cannot harm you in this life, I will do it in the next one."
Oh shit.
So that's just like a big what the fuck and like super cool detail that the movie could have done some shit with that they just left out.
Yeah, so true. Wait, I have a follow-up question. Did the dad really like paella?
Yes.
Oh, and did the boyfriend love...
I did not find that, but yes.
Did the boyfriend love pizza?
Right.
Oh, totally.
And die on a motorcycle. Except that you said that was part of the truth. So
That was actually true.
Tape on, yeah.
He died on a motorcycle delivering pizza.
That I could not confirm. In real life, it just said motorcycle accident.
We need food facts.
I know, it's true. I am very food motivated, so I am with you on this.
I'm disappointed in you, Trisha. I really am.
Fair. I'm also disappointed in myself. Oh, okay. Question three. Let's talk about the early possession signs after the Ouija board incident. So Veronica in the movie, she's like unable to eat food. She finds these handprints and bite marks on her body, and she's hearing, you know, this like strange banging. Do you think that those are some of the symptoms that, God, I'm like so bad at pronouncing this girl's name, Estefania, I think is how you say it, that she experienced in real life after playing with the Ouija board?
Yes.
Jake says yes.
I'll say yes, because the bites in particular seem specific.
Right? It's actually pretty false.
Oh.
Interestingly enough, yes. So they're pretty different across the board. After playing with the Ouija board, she started suffering from severe convulsions and hallucinations just out of the blue. She'd never had them before. And again, she's 18 years old, so it's kind of random, right? Her family said that she would burst into fits of rage. She would bark and growl at her siblings. She claimed that she saw shadows walking through her room at night. So that's kind of similar, I guess, to her seeing the demon. One time, her body became rigid, her eyes turned white, and she started foaming at the mouth. Another time, she violently attacked a few members of her family and then immediately blacked out and had no memory of the incident. So for months...
We've all been there.
Oh, right, I know. Amen. Come on. Again, that's a typical Tuesday.
I mean, sorry.
Like, quarantine times are tough. So for months, because of this, her parents took her to multiple doctors. They could find no biological cause for this change in condition. And then as time was going on, the convulsions and behavior were getting worse and worse. So her family started to become convinced that it had something to do with that, like, evil grandpa and what he said on the deathbed. Because they're just like, what the fuck? This is crazy. But yeah, like, it was mostly her behavior, and the family wasn't seeing or experiencing other stuff at the time.
Yep. Do you know, was anybody else aware of what the grandfather said on his deathbed to Veronica, you know, stand
I guess,
in?
Yes, I guess it was like the family knew about it, because the family all went, and so either they heard him say it to her, or gotcha. It was discussed afterwards, because clearly now the family is like, putting two and two together, so that's what they're thinking is going on. Let's talk. Okay, so how about the little brother getting burned in the bathtub? That was so sad. Do you think that in real life, Estefania, I'm going to say it like that.
Oh,
now,
you did it.
Do you? I think, right? Do you think that she hurt one of her little siblings in the bathtub?
Yes.
I mean, I'll say yes. Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. It is false.
Damn it. God,
nothing's true. Nothing.
I know. Well. We've encountered this before.
It's all lies.
People lie. So yeah, nothing about burning the brother. She did have a little brother, but just like the barking and then just general, I guess, aggressive tendencies. Let's see. How about the protective symbols? So, you know, drawing those symbols. Do you think that in real life she was like drawing symbols and doing what she could to protect herself and her family from?
So I want to say no, but if I say no, it's going to be yes. So I'm going to say yes.
I want to assume a bitch is going to step up, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you're like, I'm not going to just be like, oh, how many days do I got? I'm going to just go shopping till then. You know, like, I'm going to try.
Yeah, to right? First of all, I'm not against you guys here. The game is not rigged. So are we both saying yes?
Yes.
No.
All right, Matt yes, gets it. Yes, it's no, false.
No, no, I was kidding. I was kidding.
Okay,
I
fine. Said, you're both wrong. It is false. It. Yeah. So her family claims that she had taken an interest in the occult, and like her friend said that she was the one that supplied the Ouija board, actually. But like outside of that, no occult monthly, from what I could tell. And then nothing about the symbols. Yeah. I know.
The Viking symbols, which P.S. we never talked about that. I loved how they were specifically Viking.
Yeah, Viking. So strange.
And I'm like, did Spain have a large Viking sitch?
This is all knowledge to me.
I don't
know. The paella. Less knowledge was yeah. aware of that cultural
knowledge. I don't know my Iberian history,
so. No. Okay, let's talk about Sister Death. Do you think in real life Estefania had like a nun confidant that she was going to for help during this time?
No.
I believe everyone should have a mystical disabled person at their call. So I'm going to say yes.
It is sadly false.
That's all right. I'm losing Jake, this
oh, Jake game. Is, you can't hear him, but he's so excited.
Yeah. I always lose these.
I think you guys are like, are we, I'm not keeping track. We never keep
I'm
track.
Keeping track
I'm
right
dying.
Now.
I'm getting pummeled.
Yeah. It's basically 2-0.
Jake, oh, shush. Okay, well, Mac, you have a few more to redeem yourself, so don't get upset yet. So how about the seance? So, you know, Veronica learns that in order to get rid of this demon, she's got to do another seance and do it right. She gets her siblings to do it with her. Do you think that in real life, Estefania tried to get her siblings to do a seance to try to, like, end what she had started?
I'm going to say no, because...
Okay.
What... little fucking kids are going to do this.
Fair. I mean, I played with Ouija boards as a kid, but...
And that explains so much.
It explains a lot.
I'm going to say no, because if you don't have a Sister Death and you don't have a cult monthly and your ass didn't bother to do anything else...
Yep.
That is correct. You guys nice. Are right. Yay. Yes, she did not. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
this bitch just sat back and was like, demons, I got cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. Does she Jesus. Like it? Who knows?
Yeah, she's really not doing it. Much.
Yeah. One could assume. Well,
that's
so,
right. Victim blame. Victim blame.
I know. God, terrible. We're terrible people. We apologize. Well, let's talk about, okay, her death. In the film, Veronica slips her throat and then gets fisted by a demon to die.
Mouth fisted.
Mouth fisted. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Because even the demon's like, ew, no.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got your period. Oh, we're all right.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, he was basically in a latex gimp suit. I think he's not going there.
That is fair. That may not be his area.
No. Like,
ugh. Well, okay, so we'll do the slitting of the throat then. Do you think that Estefania slit her throat to end her suffering?
Yes.
I'll say no.
Mac gets it.
Oh, nice.
False. Oh, so this is good. This is good because we have one question left, which is a tiebreaker.
Well,
so,
to be fair, it's 2-1, actually.
Oh, whatever.
Well, make it like Jeopardy finale. Where it's worth a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got to really make this exciting for people. You're out of control. So, in real life, after visiting multiple doctors with no diagnosis, the family decided to have her stay at a hospital so that she could be monitored constantly, because they thought maybe that would help them figure out what's wrong with her. During this time, she told her family as well as her doctors multiple times that the shadow spirits that she saw were beckoning her to come with them. Mm-hmm. And then after being under the hospital care for 3 weeks, the staff found her lifeless in her bed. She had no apparent wounds or any visible indication of how she died. The autopsy report came back and declared that she had died of a heart attack. She had no underlying heart conditions or any sort of symptoms showing that this could have happened to her. And she was 19 at the time of her death. So it's still pretty strange and unexplained.
And it continues this lazy, passive narrative. She couldn't even kill herself. Come on.
Heart attack at 19. Unbelievable.
I mean, you're going to make your arteries do all the work. Great arteries. So I don't know.
Yeah,
science.
Yeah. That's what they called. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Okay. Last question. And this is a good question, you guys. Are you ready?
Yes.
In the movie, at the end, the detective sees a photo of Veronica spontaneously combust. Do you think in real life, a photo of Estefania caught on fire after she died?
You wouldn't bring it up if it wasn't true. So yes.
I'll say false, sure.
Mac, unfortunately, this is just because Jake has played the games more times, but it is true. That's and funny. I think the explanation will be exciting to you, Mac, regardless. So it is true. Here's the thing. After her death is when the story actually gets interesting. So, because pretty much the whole movie, Veronica, it's like false, false, false. But now we get some meat here, or beyond meat for Mac's sake. Within days of her death at the hospital, her family began to experience strange paranormal activity throughout the apartment. They heard knocking noises coming from her room. And when they looked inside, all of her belongings had been thrown about. They heard an old man laughing throughout the house. They heard Estefania's voice whispering mama from her bathroom at night. Appliances and lights would flicker, doors would open and close, and one night a door whipped open so hard that it knocked a framed photo of her on the floor, which caught on fire. And there's actually photos of this online. So we will post those. From there, things actually started to get violent. So all the members started seeing these dark humanoid figures throughout the house. And one time, one of the figures picked up the youngest son and threw him across the room. They would also throw objects so hard through the air that they would embed themselves into the walls, and they would flip the crucifixes upside down.
Naturally.
Yeah, naturally, as demons do. So the family sought out a psychic medium to help them get rid of the spirits. And this was all documented in a Spanish, like, live news report.
Oh, God.
The medium said,
say a reality show. I really did.
Yes. It's called Get the Ghost. So the medium said that the grandfather was haunting the house and that Estefania was also there trying to stop him. She also claimed that they recorded an EVP that apparently caught a female voice that said, "Beware of grandfather."
Wow.
And then after the medium visited, Conception, again, that is the mom's name. The mom's name is Conception.
And Maximilian or something. I mean, like, who are these drag queens?
I know. It's fair. They are fun names. So Conception claimed that she woke up late at night to hands grabbing her and trying to pull her out of her bed. So they finally called the police, who came to the apartment that night at 2:40 a.m. And this is where we get this whole detective tie-in. So it was Chief Inspector Jose Pedro, Officer Negri, and then three other police officers that responded to the call. All five officers claim that they reported hearing strange, loud noises. They saw doors open and close in a, quote, unnatural way throughout the house. They said that a crucifix statue of Jesus separated from the cross that it was attached to in front of their eyes. They also claimed that a tablecloth became stained with a brown, drool-like substance, and that three claw marks appeared on the wall while they were there. So that's kind of that whole, like, police report shit that the movie talks about.
Party.
Right? So at the end of all this, like, there's nothing the police could really do besides write this insane report that's like, we saw a bunch of fucked up shit go down. So they just advised the family to leave the house, which they did.
What?
They're like, just get out of here. I don't know. Novel idea. And so they moved. And afterwards, the family claims that the paranormal events have stopped. So just move.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's the lesson, kids.
Yeah. And that is the true story of Veronica, which, like, it's funny because the actual story sounds so much more like a generic horror film than the movie.
What we watched,
honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting that the detective didn't even get involved in Veronica's actual death. Like, they were just like, oh, yeah, Veronica died. Oh, now spooky shit's happening. Help, police.
I mean, clearly the family assumed that, like, the evil grandfather ghost killed her. So they were just, like, more concerned about them not getting murdered by grandpa, too, which, like, this grandpa.
Yeah.
Happens to Betsy. Respect your elders.
Yep. Right. Don't piss gramps off.
No, because they will murder you from the grave.
If I didn't know that.
So now that you guys know the real story, we can rate the movie on accuracy 1 through 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Jake, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I will say from what I watched,
that's true.
Mine wasn't accurate at all. Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How did this story actually match the other Veronica movie? Were
nowhere close. Okay. Nowhere close. Okay. Yeah.
So that's a zero.
I will say, I don't know. I'm going to have to say 6, 5 out of 10.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. I feel good about a 5 out of 10. Yeah. I'll match you there.
Wait, this is based on accuracy? I'm giving like a 2 out of 10.
Ooh.
Because remember all those questions you just asked me, every single one of them was false. There was no grandfather in the movie. The dad is still alive in real life. This girl's 18 and it's 1990. It's all lies.
So it's funny. One of the people who listen to the podcast, they have said that, me and Jake are too, like, harsh on our, like, truth ratings and how much we like the movie. So I've been trying to, like, internalize, like, oh, like, let's just, like, give them a little bit more of a break. So my 5 might be a little generous. With you, Mac. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm giving this a solid 2. The girl's name's not even Veronica.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
And that's the name of the movie. Come on, you're starting off the bat with a lie.
And where's Sister Death? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think after doing what we're at 22 of these, you learn that everyone takes insane liberties.
Right.
So now maybe my gauge is a little different than yours.
Yeah. As a full season reflection here, I think we're just learning that the based on a true story claim is loose as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause see, I'm just looking at it as they got 2 points because it was in Spain.
Yeah.
And so there was police at some point.
Yeah. And she had three siblings.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Siblings.
Oh, the three siblings. There you go. Fair enough.
And no paella. Again, dock a point.
Oh, God. Back to zero.
Well, so we could be a little bit more generous here. If you had to rate the film just about how much you liked it 1 through 10 out of 10, what would you give it?
I'm not allowed to rate it, so.
Oh, yeah. Jake's not allowed. So, Mac, what are you thinking?
I'd give it a solid 7. I actually did enjoy it. I thought the monster thing, the demon, was fun, and I thought there was like how they introduced him in the corridor and then the TV part. I thought that was very effective. I did like the Veronica. I thought the actress was. I thought everybody was good in it. You know, I mean,
that's actually one thing. Yeah, that I want to mention is those child actors are really good. that's rare. So that was, that's a plus. I'm actually really surprised. Mac is a tough critic, especially with horror, because he's a huge horror fan. And I think that is very generous. And I think I'm not copying Mac just because I love him so much, but I think I will give it a 7 as well. I think that's.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it a 7 as well too.
Because you love Mac so much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because you didn't watch the movie and you're just like, yeah, 7 sounds right.
7 sounds right. 7 sounds about right. Yep.
Oh God. Well, Mac, thank you so much for doing this. Is there anything that you want to promote that you are doing that anyone you know is doing that you want people to pay attention to? Words of wisdom?
Yeah, currently I am avoiding COVID and trying to stay alive in Brooklyn in my apartment. So that feels like a success.
I mean, it appears like to be a rarity. I respect that you are doing that. I am very proud of you, and thanks. I hope that others take note from your actions.
Wear a mask, people. Sorry, I know politics. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. God. Well, I mean, it's not even politics anymore.
The world is ending, and so is this season.
Ugh. Oh my gosh. I know. Oh,
right.
What a season it has been, Mac. We couldn't have asked for a better guest to close it out with. Yeah, me and Jake are going to take a little summer break here.
Summer break. That's fair.
Yeah. We just get too sweaty during the recording, so we have to wait until it gets a little cooler. But yes, we hope everyone stays safe and has a lovely summer. Thank you so much for listening.
Trisha, before we go, should we drop some of our social media?
God, I don't know how to promote anything. Yes. If you want to stay in touch with us, before our exciting season 2 launches, which will hopefully be in September. But if you want the real details, follow us on Instagram at Based on a True Scary. That's probably the best social media handle.
The other one, I think we should drop our email.
Oh, yeah. Also, if you want to be a guest on the podcast or if you have movies, because we are actually running low. We were just talking about this.
Tell us we suck.
Oh, yeah. Or if you want to throw some hate, email us at basedonatruescary@gmail.com. Yeah, this is it. You know, this is your time to shine. Let us know what you think. And tell us how much you love Mac.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Please. I'm taking over. Season 2's mine.
That's true. You know what? Actually, Jake, I'm sorry, but...
It was great hanging out with everyone. It was
you,
a good
I love
run.
How you assume it's Jake that's going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now I am hurt. It looks like I'm not going to be back next week, guys. So thanks so much for listening. Stay safe. Have a great summer. We'll see you at season 2.
Bye.
Bye.